Good morning, everyone. Thank you. I hope you all are doing well. My name is Kayla. You've seen my face the least out of my amazing peers in St. Cecilia's Choir, Sorsha, Rachel, and Yennefer. And for that, I apologize. Over the past 2 years, I have been the most infrequent member by far. Although I love music and singing, I've always had to juggle many commitments. Primarily, I am the leader of a dance team at my school that also meets every Wednesday, the same time St. Cecilia meets. While I adore my dance team, I've always harbored this feeling of guilt. I felt guilty for constantly missing choir despite knowing it's impossible to be two places at once. Logically, I knew what I had to do, but that didn't aid the shame I felt. Every Wednesday when I had to make the choice between my dance team and my choir, it stung. Every single text I've sent saying I'm sorry I can't make it ached. Every time I reflect on my time in the choir, I wonder if I've done enough to deserve to call myself a member. Even right now, I regret how little time I've spent at St. Michael's. While I do regret how little time I've spent here, I am grateful for every memory I've made here. I remember my first time coming to St. Michael's, and my mother and I were welcomed with open arms. Mary Ellen made sure my mom and I were comfortable while Miss Laura helped me adjust to a choir. Just a quick shout out, this isn't scripted, but those two women are so amazing, and I'm very thankful to have them at the church. Yeah, give them a little round of applause. Thanks, everyone. That round of applause solidified what I'm going to be discussing. Their compassion, and your guys' compassion as well, has stayed a constant throughout my time here. Despite the inner turmoil I felt whenever I told others I wouldn't be available for choir, I always received loving messages. It's okay, take care of yourself. Things I honestly had forgotten to do. When you are drowning in work, these little remarks become a lifeline. My lifeline, regardless of my grades fluctuating or the amount of responsibilities I had, was their compassion. This very compassion is what I'd like to highlight today. In a world full of continuous struggle and hardship, let compassion be your light. The support I received from people in this church allowed me to persevere through difficult times. Even outside of my own personal experience, the amount of kindness I see in this church is profound. Thus, I implore you to both be kind to others and allow that very same compassion in. For me, the first part was easy. However, allowing myself to accept the kindness in the church is still a challenge. Many people close to me know my relationship with Christianity is rocky. For that reason, I've always felt as though I've infiltrated this community, like a spy or an outsider. Inherently, I saw myself as different from you all. I was an outsider who couldn't even commit to the choir I wanted to join. And yet, I still stand here today. I confess this to you all today because of the support I've received from members of this very community. While my relationship with religion isn't clear as of right now, I know what is. The support and friendships I've gained from my time here feel as real as the songs we sang. I know the love from our songs and choir will continue to echo in these halls, even though the seniors will leave. I will leave you all with one final message. Know by granting yourself kindness, you liberate yourself from your greatest enemy, yourself. St. Cecilia's have taught me the power of compassion throughout my journey. I simply had to allow myself to accept that same support. Now I wear their words and encouragement as armor. I will go through difficult times. We all will. But know no matter what you go through, love is a constant, and you deserve to experience it. Thank you for your time.
Yeah. Okay.
Good morning, St. Michael's. I thought about many things I could possibly write for my sermon. But more about how I would begin this. To those who don't know me, my name is Yennefer. I am and have been a member of St. Cecilia's Choir for the past 3 years. Although let me tell you the story of how I got here. I met Rachel at the beginning of high school. We still happened to be in the same science class, and she had been the first person I spoke to and became friends with. Before we finished our freshman year, I had asked Rachel if she had any extracurricular activities outside of school. She spoke about a choir she had been in since she was in the second grade. I had interest in music since I've known I've had been given the gift with a singing voice. Rachel sent me a flyer for September 3rd of 2023. It was then that I had been so grateful for to start a journey here at St. Michael's. What I'm about to tell you now is off script as well. I've never felt connected to religion. My upbringing was a Catholic upbringing, and I never really felt connected to it. Always felt forced, and it felt like something shoved down my throat. When I began here, all I thought about was, hey, free food, free singing lessons. And it was here who I met my former choir members, Jillian, Benji, and Rowan. Those who were here before me and who are no longer here with me, as they have all been sent to their own journeys. Jillian is in college right now. Benji is somewhere in New Zealand, and Rowan is currently in college too. But when I first got here, I too, like Kayla, felt like an outsider. I too felt like a spy being sent in to infiltrate. But it was those people in the St. Cecilia Choir from then that made me feel that I shouldn't feel like an intruder here. That if I did have the ability to sing and wanted to sing, that I could and I was welcome to. From then on, I came here every Wednesday rigorously, and even if I couldn't, I still came. Even when I was somewhat sick, which I advise you shouldn't. But it was through all of them in which I found myself questioning if I could come back to religion. For the longest time, I didn't feel the connection. As I mentioned before, I felt religion that was, to me, very scary and very much felt like being put in a box with all these things shoved down my throat. But when I started and came here to St. Michael's, it didn't feel such way. When I did my first service here at St. Michael's and listened to the sermons, to the speeches that then Benji's mom gave, Mother Kate, we miss Mother Kate dearly here. But it was from my first service here in which I didn't feel like a stranger. I truly felt welcomed here in this beautiful and lovely community. Now, I would like to thank Miss Laura and Mary Ellen for welcoming me with such open arms here when I first began. Mary Ellen hosting youth dinners on Wednesday in which we would explore and read the Bible. Now, I had never held a Bible before then, but it was intriguing to me how she was able to spark my curiosity into picking one up and reading one. Wednesdays were filled with food and reading various versions of the Bible. And to me, that sparked my question. Do I really have to be a part of a religion and commit to it? Or can I be me, continue to explore, and find my way and guide myself through life by also being held by the hand of God? Today, I still question whether I can truly commit to a religion. But my time here has also answered that I don't have to be an overly religious person to also know how to love God. I can love God in my own way. I don't have to rigorously come to Sunday services every single week, but I can still have faith and love in Him. And I would like to thank the St. Michael's community for always saying hi to me, for always thanking us after our services, and for being kind to every single one of us here in the St. Cecilia Choir who had joined recently. Thank you for your time, and thank you for the wonderful moments I have had here for the past 3 years. Thank you.
I gotta save the best for last, am I right? Good morning, St. Michael's.
Good morning.
Okay. Give me a minute, I'm gonna pull this up, but I have been the longest running member currently. I've been here for 10 years. A whole decade. Can you believe that? I'm old. I've known these halls ever since before they started construction. Okay? I remember there used to be a door right there, but now it's not there anymore. All right, today is the day. The day is here. For years, I thought of what I'd say for my sermon, but as the days drew closer, I couldn't find the words to truly encapsulate a whole decade of experiences. All the people I've met, all the songs I've performed, and all the roles I've filled come down to this one final speech. But if there's one select journey I had to go into detail about, I find that there's nothing more fitting than my journey with faith. This year, I did a lot of reflecting on my journey with faith and how a deep devotion to a faith impacted others, particularly through my senior school assignments. My collection of art that sits on the east wing of my school's lobby is a culmination of research into the relationship between Christianity and non-Abrahamic or pagan religions. My college essay, viewed by 11 institutions and rejected by like half of them, explains the lessons I learned through exploration of other religions, and my research paper, hanging on the wall of my government teacher's room, looks into the future, demonstrating reasons for the mass decline in the Christian population as of late. And a single theme connects these three assignments, if nothing else: hurt. A hurt so strong it prevailed in words and visuals. A hurt I felt once upon a time. Around my sophomore year, there was a period in my life when I had lost nearly all hope in God and the promise of Christ's love. The words I sang in choir started to sound empty. My mind was overcome with the pressure to keep going, to keep believing, even when my heart said no. I had somehow gotten it ingrained in my head that I did not belong within these walls because of my deep resentment for the Christian faith. I had let all of my previous experiences and the experiences of my family with Catholicism get to my head and cloud my judgment. To me, the choice seemed simple, but so horrifying, like two pieces of land splitting apart in an earthquake. Leave the faith altogether or stay and be uncomfortable. I fell between the two, leaving a huge hole in my heart where there once was a divine being. I still attended choir like normal, but mentally I had completely derailed from the Christian way. One could say I was atheist, although I didn't want to say it exactly. I didn't want to believe that there was no higher authority, nowhere to go after this life. So that's when I started looking into other faiths. Maybe, just maybe, there's something out there that can fix this hole in my heart, I thought. And after what seemed like ages lost at sea, I washed upon the shores of Hellenic polytheism, or the Greek gods, not long after. I felt, at the very least, a temporary happiness in my faith once more. Freedom from the concept of sin and harsh rules and norms, gods and goddesses that felt real and relatable and represented every aspect of humanity and helped me to improve myself. It was everything I needed. I didn't want anything else. Nothing could change how I felt. Nothing except a couple of dinners around a dimly lit table on a cold winter evening with our very own miracle worker, Mary Ellen. I was not aware of the magic these simple meetings could hold. I was simply there to be with my friends and eat food, not about God, not to learn about God. And I made that known from the jump. But it wasn't met with hostility or judgment. It was accepted.
It was made known from that point that that table was a safe space for us choir kids, no matter where we were on our spiritual journey. I got comfortable there as the weeks progressed, opening myself up more, dipping my feet into the waters inch by inch. Later on in the year, we switched to reading different interpretations of the Bible, and it was after that point I truly understood what it meant to be a Christian. It was those passages, as funny and complicated as they were sometimes, that helped me to truly grasp what God's love felt to me. It was as if a shining light, as bright as the sun, had replaced that hole in my heart. And that is something I could not imagine I would feel all those years ago. From that point on, all the pieces fell into place. The clouds had parted to reveal the sun. All the songs I sang here gained their meaning again, and I had somehow found myself on the right path again. And truly, I tell you, that is transformative work, all from deeply analyzing a single book. So if there's one thing you take from this whole speech, read the Bible. And I mean actually read it. To go to church is one thing, but to really read and understand the code of conduct that was made for us by our Creator is another. Really listen when we are told to walk in love as Christ loved us, because it is true. Christ does love us, and I know that now. Now that I have done the work to not only look past the bad, look past my own negative judgments, and criticize what this church has done to villainize the words of Jesus, because y'all know they do, but also to take in the good. To really look at Jesus and say, you're not a bad guy after all. To reestablish my faith in God. Thank you. Amen.